use this by just referring back to the healing service we had a couple weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks ago on a Sunday night with Reverend Al Fury? I was in the family room at the back because Yolande had a baby 2 months ago. I was helping with the three kids. And Dad wasn't here anyway. So I was in the family room and I'm always there. And the next moment I just see people are standing up. And I'm checking in and I see my husband in the front row. And I'm like, why is everybody in church standing up and he's sitting down? I'm like, I'm just going to have to ask him that. And then I realized that was the invitation for healing. And from where I was looking, ladies, it looked like everybody was standing. It just blew me away, you know, that it was a healing service and we thank God and God did miracles that night. And we're getting ready for a whole weekend of healing this weekend. A whole weekend of services going all the way to Monday night. Expecting God to do miracles, signs, and wonders. But I think it's very appropriate that we talk about this. We want to start, begin, and end with the Word of God. Because when things are impossible in the physical realm, it is not the end of the story. Because God is able, He operates in the spiritual. The realm of the miraculous is where God moves and where God works. And we just have to get our faith in that. So if you're sitting in this place and you are really sick, or you have a burden on your heart for a family member or yourself, just take a deep breath and know there is nothing too hard for God. So let's just start. If you want to grab your Bible, so just, let's just look at a quick scripture here. So we just can set ourselves upright. Psalm 103. Just the scripture I have been eating morning, day, noon, and night lately. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals some of your diseases. Who heals all of your diseases. And then it says he redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness. He satisfies you that your youth is renewed like the eagle. He heals all your diseases. It's either all true or none true, right? And then let's go to Isaiah, our beloved scripture in Isaiah 53. And just hold on to your Bible all this time that we talk about healing because God is the beginning and the end of it all. It says, surely, in verse 4 of Isaiah 53, surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that in all we say and all we do, Lord, we want to fix our eyes on you, God. And there are some of us in this room that are walking around with broken hearts, because of illness and disease and broken bodies, Lord, and a loss of faith and a loss of hope. And we just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you come in. And as we talk about these amazing bodies you gave us, Lord, that you will just stir every heart with new faith and hope and inspiration and creativity and ideas and God moments that could just put us over into your time for us to receive our miracles. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to just quickly introduce you because I told the panelists, you know many of them. But if you know girls, you know girls like to know something about people, you know, when they listen to them. Isn't it true? You want a little bit of a backstory, don't you? You want the good stuff. Okay. We're starting here with Vanessa Reynolds, who was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and raised as the only child by her single mother. Her parents divorced when she was 6 years old, and her dad died at 41 years of age due to problems associated with alcoholism. She graduated with a BS in biology from Stanford University, whoop, and was accepted at Tufts University School of Medicine in Boston, Massachusetts. Dr. Vanessa completed her residency at East Carolina University Emergency Medicine Program in Greenville, North Carolina. She then left for California, where she worked for 14 years as an emergency physician at Kaiser Fontana and adjunct professor at Riverside Community College in the physician assistant program. Dr. Vanessa has endured low self-esteem, racism, financial difficulties, marital challenges, and children and teenage woes. Her life experiences inspired her to write her first book, An Apple a Day, as a devotional in 2014. I do believe we have it in the bookstore. So her desire is to help others who currently face various life trials to learn how to depend on God. She's married to Larry, the love of her life, and they have three adult biological children and two little ones they adopted into this amazing family, and one grandbaby and another one on the way. Yes. Isn't that awesome? Okay, Dr. Kono was born and raised in Massachusetts and completed medical school training at the University of Massachusetts. His residency training in both preventive medicine and family medicine was completed at Loma Linda University. He is a family physician first, but has a passion for lifestyle medicine and population health. His goal is to support patients, families, and their broader communities in living more meaningful and effective lives. His approach includes empowering patients through strong relationships, community resources, and cutting-edge technology. He has spent time developing tools and curriculum to optimize health throughout his career. Over the last few years, he has worked to develop the Health Ropes Wellness Group in Loma Linda and has supported the development of the Be Alive Wellness Group with the Rock Church in San Bernardino. Yes! He was one of our champions for that program. He has a passion and strong commitment to the people in the Inland Empire. So there we go. And then the single part, you know, we can just at that. I have to just abuse my situation a little bit. You're amazing, Dr. Kona. Yolanda McCoskey, she is special to me. I'm partial because, you know, she grew in here. was born to the Becker family in Johannesburg, South Africa. She wrote this. She had no time to write a bio, so I had to go to her graduation ceremony paperwork. Anyway, that's true. She was born in Johannesburg, South Africa. Life in South Africa was exciting. This was the 90s, but after a few years passed and two more brothers joined the mix, her adventurous dad moved them all to the land of opportunity, the USA. Immigrants we are. Growing up in Virginia Beach was perfect, and while attending Old Dominion University, she also met the love of her life, Matthew McCoskey. After her third year of college, she visited her parents who had newly moved to California. She decided to stay in this sunny, happy place, completing her biology undergraduate degree at Redlands University. University of Redlands. She attended and graduated from Loma Linda School of Medicine. On the weekend of medical school commencement, Wyatt Joel McCoskey came into the world and brought so much joy that Matt and Yolandi had two more sons, Wesley Daniel and Walter Noah, only 2 months old. She currently practices at the Kaiser Clinic in Colton and has also taught medical students at the Riverside Medical School as well as Ross Medical School in the Caribbean island of Dominica. All right, so Jamie, you're sitting at the end. Last but not the least, Jamie is amazing. Jamie has been interested in health and wellness since she was 19 years old. Her passion comes from experiencing the benefits of changing her diet and implementing exercise to manage her own moods and emotions. In college, she struggled with an eating disorder, depression, and anxiety. She fell in love with the outdoors where she felt truly free to appreciate the body God gave her and not letting her poor thinking rule her life. By the time she was expecting her third child, she found herself sick all the time, and testing revealed that her kids were allergic to, well, just about everything. Feeling totally overwhelmed and isolated, she finally surrendered her anxieties to the Lord, and God helped her one change at a time. She started experiencing healing from issues she struggled with all her life. Jamie majored in therapeutic recreation and psychology in college and minored in business. She is a certified health coach and trained with the Dr. Sears Wellness Institute to run classes for families, pregnancy, and people over 50 years old. She has had a business for years and is currently working on her master health coach certification. So there we go. So with that, all welcome. I have a funny video, but once we get too serious over here, we will play that video. So let's just jump in right away. Let's just hear it. This was kind of a long introduction, but I think it's important that people know where you're coming from and setting us up. So maybe when you answer the first question I'm going to ask, just give us one sentence about why are you doing what you're doing? Because some of the ladies were saying they really would like to know that. Jamie, yours answered that already, really. which is truly amazing. But Dr. V, let's start over here again. Here's a question for you. What areas of physical health are the biggest threats of disease for women in the United States? Or women here, what are the diseases that are just, you know, running away with us?
Okay, so I looked it up to see what was number one. I mean, I know what everybody comes in with and what you're thinking, but let me just get from the audience. What do you guys think is the number one problem with women? Diabetes, heart, cancer, depression. You're all right. But guess what number one is? It's heart disease, okay? Surprisingly, you hear all, you know, so many people are getting breast cancer and this kind of thing, which actually isn't the number one killer, it's lung, but it's heart disease. And even though there are some things we can't change about heart disease, like whether, you know, you have a familial, if people in your family have heart disease and that kind of thing, you can combat it by changing your lifestyle, like Jamie said in her bio, okay? And so it kills 27% of all women in America today. It's about 500,000 women a year. And the best thing, if you smoke, you know, you need to get with God and break that addiction. Okay, you need a heart smart diet, you know, so we want lots of veggies and lean meats and, you know, whole grains and that kind of thing. And we want to do some more physical activity. You know, Americans, obesity is on the rise, and all the things that you mentioned as number one killers have obesity as a risk factor, including cancer. Okay, and so diabetes is, you know, rampant because we have a poor diet and we don't exercise enough. So we need to increase those things in our lives. As far as cancer, 22% of female deaths, you know, and I think that what happens, I trained in North Carolina where fear was big as far as people going to the doctor. And I see it happening because we hear everybody's getting cancer, that this is what, you know, you think in your mind, and it stops people from going to get screened. It stops people from doing breast self-checks and that kind of thing because they don't want to know. But you know what? If we catch it early, you know, we have so many methods now of curing cancer. But if you hide your head in the sand and you never find out and you don't get your screenings, you don't get your mammograms, you don't do breast self-checks, and you just live the way you want to live without thinking about the risk factors, you know, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and you're just making yourself prey, okay? So, you know, doctors have trained because they care about your health. You know, God says he wants to give us a long and fulfilled, abundant life, you know, and so we have to do our part, right? We have to do our part. As far as depression, did you know that 12 million women get depressed as to 6 million men? So double the statistics, okay? And just a key is watch out for it around, you know, when you have babies and when you enter menopause, okay? But they found that the best thing to cure it is having a strong social connection, a support group, people that care about you, people that are going to get you out and not let you stay there. And they didn't list this in all the things that I read, but you know that a strong relationship with God, right? Because he gives us joy. He's our strength. And once you know that, then you can know that there's nothing too big for him. So why be depressed about it? You know, it says worrying is not going to give you anything, right? And it's not going to be able to help you to live the kind of life that he's called you to live. So heart disease, cancer, lung more than breast. Watch out for secondhand smoke. And osteoporosis is causing a lot of disability in our society. I went for my bone density scan, and I've been 5'5 my whole life, and they said, you're 5'4. And I'm like, I am not. I want that extra inch. But you know, if you don't have strong, healthy bones, and usually it's blonde, thin bone women that have osteoporosis, but my levels were low. And so you can take calcium supplements, and you can eat calcium-rich foods like milk, broccoli, collard greens. You like collard greens? Don't fry them in ham hocks or anything, but olive oil and some good seasoning. And
like in North Carolina, right?
Yeah, kale and broccoli. These all have calcium in it too, so it's all about the diet. And those are the top ones I wanted to discuss this morning.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Wow. All right. So thank you. So, Yolandi, here's your question. How prevalent are mental health issues with women, and how does it affect their bodies? We talk about physical, I don't know if you want to define mental health, but how prevalent is it with women, and does it affect you physically and how?
You know, Dr. Vanessa just touched on it. It is one of the most common things that we see, and it's a very difficult diagnosis because of the stigma associated with it. And like she was saying, it's extremely isolating, right? If you get high blood pressure, you get diabetes. We're all in faith. We'll all pray with you together and believe. But what if you have depression, or what if you have anxiety? These are a lot of things a lot of people deal with. Actually, it says that about 25%, which is 1 in 4 people, have depression. It's probably a lot more like that, way more than that. So what could be the symptoms? You know, how do you know you're depressed? Because we all have our moments, right, of being depressed. But if over a long period of time you feel your energy is gone, your concentration is gone, you can't sleep at night, loss of sleep is also a cause for depression, but it's really something that you want to talk to your doctor about and talk to your support group about. Having people in your life helps. But, you know, it may not be a major issue. It may just be a problem with your blood count. Maybe you're anemic, and that makes you feel tired and depressed. Maybe there was problems with your thyroid. So very important to talk to your doctor about these issues. I know with women, by the time we go to the doctor, sometimes we have 10 issues, right? We wait a little while, and that's the last one on the list, but very important for your quality of life. So make sure you take care of yourself there, and talk to your friends, talk to your doctor about it. Very common. Yeah.
Thank you. You know, the doctors have a word or a name for when they see a patient, and they've talked about everything, and they stand...
Doorknob question.
And they stand at the door to leave, and the patient says one more thing.
Can you hold the door?
That's the doorknob question. I know I have those. I don't know if you do. But, yeah, don't ever neglect to just talk to your doctor about it. Okay, let's go down the road. Dr. Kono, question, how preventable are some of the major health issues and diseases that plague women, or anybody for that matter? You were in preventive medicine. How preventive is it?
Thought I pushed it. I'm going to use Yolandi's. So I've been blown away. I can say I've put in my 10,000 hours now, and I've done it in the course of some of my time here at the church of studying lifestyle and nutrition to really say I'm an expert in the worldly ways of knowledge. Prevention has blown me away with how much of it is actually preventable, reversible, and treatable through the way that we live our lives and being doers of the word. I mean, really, that's where it starts. I want to preface why I'm here. I'm here because I'm a messenger, and I have a word to share because of the expertise I've had through me trying to seek out wisdom, but what I was really seeking out was worldly knowledge, and I found a lot of it along the way. And somehow, as I kept seeking wisdom and finding reverence and fear of the Lord, I'm here specifically because I was loved here. I've been loved at this church. I've been reborn at this church. There's been times when I didn't think I could get a word from women necessarily this church. I love women. I was born with women. But the first time I saw Pastor Deborah up there, I was like, oh, man, am I going to get something? She blew me away. She pierced my heart with the word. And often we're not doers of the word. And sometimes we're so caught up with the worldly knowledge, we think we know something and we don't. We think we know prevention. And the very simple truth, we don't want to hear it. The doctor that says, you need to eat this vegetable. I can't. Can I eat the vegetable pill? I can't. Can I instead do, hey, what do you think of coconut sugar? Or instead, you can eat coconut. Oh, but what about the coconut oil? I hear that's good, right, doc? And prevention starts with very simple things. And we've built a group here. I spent 40 days of fasting. And I thought through, and I actually have been fasting again, and I'm actually changing the Be Alive Core 5, because balance isn't a Core 5. It's not how you cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. It's balancing the way that you cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. One of them is relationships. It's connecting. And some of us are introverts. Some of us are extroverts. But when you're an introvert, are you still connecting to God? Are you actually still using that time to be connected We're meant to be connected. And so there's Be Alive Core 5. There are these five principles, taking yourself through nourishment, through movement, moving your body, nourishing your body, nourishing your soul, nourishing yourself so that you can house the spirit. That helps prevent disease. I'm shocked at how much we say, hey, go get your breast cancer screening so I can early detect the cancer. Does that treat cancer? Does that truly prevent the cancer? And I'm not listen, I support mammogram screening and you should get your mammogram screening, but you can treat breast cancer. You can prevent breast cancer through your lifestyle, through understanding your lifestyle. You can treat heart disease. And I've seen now there's clinics out and around the United States where there are doctors that will spend hours with their patients and help them understand some of the benefits of proper nutrition, and they've reversed plaques in individuals' hearts. We didn't think that was possible. That's the number one killer. So is it preventable? Yes. And sometimes when you've already planted the seed, you can dig up those seeds that you've poisoned your body with and start to reverse the illness, which is incredible. And what's profound is Jesus said that, right? Jesus was healing long before we came up here, and we're just messengers trying to learn how it works in real life. But it works in real life. That's what's so crazy. And I get to see it happen every day. And that's why I do what I do, and I love it. So I don't know if that was helpful.
That's very helpful. That's encouraging, yes. And we want to say, preach it, Dr. Kono. He really, this is a passion that you can see that's burning in his bones. So thank you. Jamie, our sweet little health coach that I cannot imagine had any kind of anxiety or disorders ever.
You know, I was thinking about it. I had my first panic attack when I was in sixth grade. And I had panic attacks every day my sixth grade year.
That would make you 12 years old.
I was 12, and that was like the beginning of my whole of neurotic. I mean, I have a good amount of mental illness on both sides, so I had to learn how to manage myself. Like, it took a long time, you know. And I'm so thankful for the spiritual foundation that we have received, that I've received here, because that was like, it was what I needed all along. But in you know, my journey, the outdoors and being physical and being active was like where I really met myself, like where I had to look at my failures and look at, you know, Shonda and I were on our first backpacking trip together when we were 19 years old in New York. We went to school together. And that's where, like, for me, I had to face my failures, and I had to face like who I was and who I was becoming, and kind of put the brakes on and be like, I got to change direction here. So anyway, it ignited a fire and a passion for me to be like, this is therapeutic. Like, we, again, like, we want to make it really complicated and get our hours in at the gym, but it's like this, being active and playing and being present and engaged, there's so much science that backs movement and relieving anxiety, rumination, you know, like obsessing on things. It actually, like, activity helps you, releases you from that, you know? And there's also, like, I've been mulling over, because I lost the word for it, but it's, like, kind of like a victim complex. Like, that, when we're active, we're challenging that what we have inside of us that says that we can't. So I guess I'm just really in touch with, like, there's like the broken pieces that I run through, I push through, you know, and push through it in the physical so that I can then apply my, you know, it to my spiritual walk, you know. There's some other really cool science that says, like, problem solving, creativity, those things happen as a result of a 15-minute walk. And so it's really simple stuff, you know, but I think that's God's creativity. Those are God ideas that drops in us when we leave the computer or we leave the problem, we go on a walk, we commune, you know, whatever communing looks like, if that's whatever the streets or your plot of land is, you know, when we do that, God meets us there. So that's, yeah.
So you are really an example of healthy lifestyle changes, and it has changed your life. And if you are a follower of her on Facebook, you will see her and her kids and everybody hanging off of these cliffs. I mean, like, she talks activity. They put ropes up. God knows where those ropes are anchored, because her and her whole family are hanging halfway up the rock off of those things. And I'm thinking, I want to go with you. No, I don't. Oh, my goodness. So thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. We have a live number that you guys can call, not call, text. Text that we're going to put up now. There's a phone number that, so once you text it today, we will be receiving it right here, and we'll be happy to answer some of the questions, even at this point, that you may have. And I just want to get back my little document here. So after that, Jamie, how many of us, let's just stop for a second here, how many of you want to make the commitment by putting up your hand and say, you know what, I am not active enough? After listening to this, I'm not active enough. Wow, that was not many of you. So the rest of you are all athletes. Oh, it's like, it's the commitment part. I'm not putting up my hands. Yes. God created our bodies to be moving. And
well, and one of the, I was reading about when we decide to make a lifestyle change, sometimes like we have a decision we make, but then we don't make commitments that support the decision, you know?
Right.
And one of my, like, passions is having a healthy tribe, you know, and connecting with people and making appointments that are like, you know, who am I going to connect with this week on the water or on the trail or
that is so
whatever.
True of you.
And that's one of our, like, my passions with Be Alive is, like, you know, in general, is just, like, how do we... You know, let's do this. Like, let's make appointments. Let's set a date.
Don't ask Jamie for a coffee at Starbucks. You ask, as you get invited to her kids' birthday parties, you better put your yoga pants on and your running shoes. They don't party sit in a room eating cake. No. They eat trail mix and out in the woods somewhere. Okay.
Let me just say, too, you know, when we raise our hands and we say we're going to increase our activity, the best thing to do to not walk out here and not do it is to say how. Okay, how are you going to increase it? I mean, do we drive up to the rock and try to get the closest parking spot when we come to service? You know, if Women Rock is going to be on this youth side, do we park over here? Or maybe we should park in the far corner on the other side and walk that much, you know. I know, Christmas ago, they got me this Fitbit, and it's really cool because it'll buzz. Like, if you're sitting down watching a marathon on Netflix, it'll say you're inactive, and, like, you try to get 10,000 steps a day. So, you know, that's my goal, is to try to get 10,000. If I haven't gotten 10,000, I'll get up and take a walk or something, you know. So just think about not just raising your hand, but just to say, okay, how can I actually increase my activity? I mean, do I need to get a gym membership? Do I need to walk around the block? Because it's been over 100 degrees all week. It's kind of, you know, can I walk in the evenings? Can I get a partner when it's cooler or early in the mornings before I go to work? Or can I take a flight of stairs instead of the elevator? I mean, there are things we can just do that are practical and free to increase our activity. So take a minute right now and say, what can I do to be more active?
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. V. Okay, girls, you're on it. These questions are streaming in faster than I could even read them. Jamie, your Facebook page is Jamie Steinson, right?
Yeah, I have my coaching page. I like where I share my nerd health stuff is yeah. Health Hoot.
Health Hoot,
as in
on Facebook.
Healthy living should be fun. That's okay. My whole thing.
Awesome. Okay, so we have a question, and I'm just going to open it to anybody here. You guys just jump in, okay? What advice do you have for new parents with babies who do not sleep well at night, that have to go to work or get stuff done the next day and are completely exhausted?
Is that question for me?
What advice do you have? That was the first question that came in from the girls here. So, you know, somebody's really desperate. So please help.
Okay. So I just had my third baby, so now I'm overwhelmed completely. Okay. Like, two was cool. Three is like, you know, puts you over the top. If you have three kids, you probably understand. And they're all young, and yes, sleeping is an issue, right? Getting enough rest, especially if you have to work, you know, have to be at work at 8:30 or whatever time you have to be there. So for me, the battle begins the night before because, you know, I've managed my kids all day, I've worked, I've done whatever, and finally everybody's in bed for 5 minutes. It's quiet. And just honestly, then I start to decide, I haven't had any me time all day. I need to, like, do something, right? So then I'll, you know, start watching TV or start doing things. And before I know it, it's like midnight, 1 a.m., and then the first one is up and crying, right? And then, so the first thing I recommend is when people go to sleep in your house, you go to sleep, okay? You go to sleep. That's how you get sleep. You got to sleep with them. You got to sleep with everybody. And prepare the night before for everything. I have everybody's clothes ready. Whatever you have to do in your life to make it easy, to make it manageable, do that. And then, yeah, sleep when they sleep. And if you have family or friends who are like, do you need a nap? You say, yes, I do need a nap. And, you know, help me out with my kids. And then sleep. Just sleep whenever you can. But a huge deal is making sure that you're healthy, first of all. Because if you're not eating right, if you're not active, if you're not taking care of yourself, it doesn't matter how much you sleep. You'll just want to sleep more, right? You're always going to feel tired. So getting exercise is important. The exercise thing. So after my kid, I've felt overwhelmed, but I've started to exercise again. And the only way that I can do it, I'm terrible. I still can't leave my house. I'm working on it, is I put on YouTube because my kids get excited and they get calm. And I put on 10-minute little workout videos, right? And then my kids are, like, working out, too, and it is hard. If you think 10 minutes of exercise is not going to help you, then you haven't done it yet because it will make you tired. The next day you will feel it. So even if it's little bits of exercise at a time, just invest in that. And, yeah.
It sounds counterintuitive. I'm already tired. I can't exercise. But when you exercise, it just does really build you up.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, we have a panel. We have a lot of questions, so let's just see how many of... Wow, you guys are amazing. Good questions. How long can someone take hormones? I'm tired of sweating when I go without. I need some options. Anybody? The hormonal thing? Menopause? Any options?
The alternatives to hormones... what helps me a lot is the evening primrose oil. That helps a lot. Some people are helped by black cohosh and soy products. So you can try to see if any of those things help you. Also, exercise is the number one thing to help you get through the hot flashes of menopause. The more exercise you do and no sugar. Sugar will trigger your hot flashes, so you need to stop all your sugar. You need to exercise. Like I said, I take the evening primrose oil, which works tremendously, and you can try some of the other herbal things.
Essential oils
and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's amazing. While I was going through it, I would sit down with my whole family, and we'd ready to eat, and I say they already knew. Just like 5 minutes into the meal, just the eating, just the body digesting food would... stir it up. Okay, what is the best thing to do for someone with liver cirrhosis? Vitamins, diet? Anybody over there?
I just wanted to more directly answer the last question, too. It really is individual. I think that's why none of us jumped at it. Some women are on hormone therapy for a very long time. Others, you know, they'll have side effects after a year. There's certain risks, there's certain benefits, and it's different for different women. So it's worth talking and connecting with your doctor for that one. And
yes.
Then what was the liver cirrhosis question?
The question is, what is the best thing to do for someone with liver cirrhosis? Is there a vitamin or a diet?
The best thing is preventing liver cirrhosis, to be honest. Getting it when there's still some healthy liver tissue that's still going to give you something. Some people are really at the end stage of liver disease and truly have a cirrhotic liver. The best thing is to try to work your way up the transplant list. But in the meanwhile... there hasn't been a ton of great evidence.
So how to prevent then?
How
to prevent?
Well, one of the leading cause of liver disease in this country now, it used to be alcohol. And alcohol is still number two, but It's non-alcoholic steatohepatitis, or anyway, it's called NASH. That's what we call it in the medical community. But it's from too much. It's from eating the wrong foods.
Oh.
It's from not being active. It's from having horrible stress, not sleeping, and then over time your metabolism's broken down, and that leads to storage of fat within the liver. And that fatty liver
is that same as fatty liver?
That's the start.
It's the start. So if you have fatty liver, it's a good time to start to prevent the cirrhosis.
If you have fatty liver, it's time to start working on all of those lifestyle changes, because the liver's very good at regenerating. Amongst tissues that will like come back, if you still have a little bit of liver that wants to function, if you help with the phase reactions of the liver by eating enough antioxidants, controlling some of those lifestyle measures that you can control, the liver can actually function quite well.
Wow.
Even with a very little bit of function.
Wow. Okay, the next one. What is the truth about cholesterol drugs? How do they cause more side effects than help? Cholesterol drugs? Somebody's on statins and they ask, do they cause, is it worth the side effects?
Okay, so we always have a joke that if you have two doctors in the room, you get five opinions, right? So this is kind of one of those issues. Some physicians you'll ask about, you know, statin medications. You may recognize if you take simvastatin, atorvastatin, these kind of medications. Some doctors will say you absolutely have to be on it. It is the only thing that is going to help your cholesterol. You better take it. And some doctors will say, well, it's not really working. It's giving you lots of side effects, muscle problems, all kinds of other issues. And new research is kind of leaning towards it may not be as good for us as we thought. But besides that, we go back to the number one treatment of fatty liver disease and cholesterol is your diet. It is your lifestyle. Absolutely. The problem is, you know, you sit in your doctor's office and we tell you should exercise, you should eat healthy. We tell ourselves that too. And, you know, we don't. So that's why we come up with all these other medications. But it does cause side effects. But a healthy lifestyle can reverse fatty liver disease, reverse cholesterol issues, all of that.
Jamie, this is... I'm sorry, Dr. Cohen.
I just wanted to add. This is one that, because of the lashback from statins, there's been a lot of people who qualify for statin drugs based on all of the criteria. You are a good candidate according to your risk factors. And because of the fear that's been out there, a lot of people won't take them. They're like, oh, no, they're bad for me. I heard so-and-so had this problem or that problem. And I don't like prescribing statins. I like prescribing lifestyle. But they did a big study in the last year that actually compared people who qualified through the risk factors, and then they followed them. And more people who qualified for statins that didn't take them, for whatever reason, they couldn't take them, versus the ones who
did
took them. The ones who took them, they had less heart attacks. They had less strokes, and they didn't die as readily. So when you qualify, it is still, from that perspective, worthwhile to take your doctor's advice sometimes with these. If you can take it. If you feel horrible every day and you're having terrible side effects, then we got to come up with another solution, and it's worth working that through. But there's a fear that has been built against statins, and I'm fearful as a physician that fear is keeping people who otherwise
it's
would
like
potentially live longer and have less cardiovascular risk.
Because I know that was debated. So constantly debated, does it really?
And it's still going to be, which is why she said that.
And but if I can just, going off that, when your doctor prescribes you medication, it's not because they're getting a kickback or because they're bored or because, you know, they think it's cool. It's because you need it. Really. And we all recommend take the medication that you need to take and then start working on your lifestyle. And as you get healthier, the doctor will say, hey, your blood pressure is too low. We should take you off this blood pressure medication. Or, hey, your cholesterol is getting better. Maybe we can decrease your medication. So I just want to say, yes, when your doctor recommends you to take a medication, it really is based on a lot of evidence that it will help you. So, you know.
You know, all these commercials on television that tells you can take this for arthritis pain, but you're basically going to die. It doesn't help the general population out there. I'm just saying. It's just like, seriously, what do I want to die from? The medicine? Or the disease. This is like, and then the end of the rope is, and you can die. It's like, thank you very much. I'm going straight to my doctor. and asking for some of that stuff.
But there's a butterfly in the commercial. So, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and then the butterfly flies away. Okay, so, okay, Jamie, here's a question now. Guys, there are just so many questions. So, just really quick. Somebody's asking, give me three things. If my diet is horrible, just three things that I can go home and do. They literally asked that. Please give me three things to start with.
Build movement into your life. So really simple. Like if you have to start with 5 minutes, start with 5 minutes of activity. And then increase your servings of fruits and vegetables. And think good thoughts. I mean, really, it's like take your thoughts captive, use scripture, and use scripture and apply it to your food story because, you know, it's a story that, especially as women, we are like, there's so many feelings associated with that start at such an early age with the way we look and how we don't compare and we don't measure up and all that stuff. So I think that there's some patterns and chains that need to be broken with scripture and with our thinking. Yeah. So
So you say start moving.
Start moving. And wherever your baseline is for your servings of fruits and vegetables. So if you're, those are God's foods. Those foods are going to heal you. We were born in a garden. That's his intention, right? So they're constantly coming out with new research about how plants are healing, even just hanging out around plants, like literally being in the forest.
Just breathing like the oxygen that they
is
give
healing.
You.
So, yes. Yeah.
Okay, so Ken?
I think one good thing you could do about your diet is cut your fast food down. That's the first thing is try to eat whole foods at home from the grocery store. And don't go buy fast food.
And when you shop, they say to shop in the perimeter of the drugstore, not in the grocery store. Go on the edges. Where do you get most of your stuff? In the middle or on the edges?
Yes.
Okay, so can thyroid disease be reversed through diet and activity? We know, listen, just remember, don't walk out of here and say, we just disregard God. God can just heal you in an instant, but he's also given you a brain. So can thyroid disease be reversed through diet and activity?
Was that thyroid. Fibroid?
Or thyroids.
I was thinking of fibroids. I was like, probably not.
Those you just cut out. The fibroids you just cut out right now. Yeah. Thyroid disease, can it be healed through diet and exercise?
I don't think there's consistent evidence that supports it, but there's a lot of people who have. So there's anecdotal evidence from lots of physicians. There's even naturopathic doctors and people that go and see alternative practitioners that have worked through using nutraceuticals, which are basically phytonutrients and other nutrients that are natural and they don't meet the qualifications of a drug. And people have changed their actual numbers using those and also changing their lifestyle, exercising more.
So
it depends on the cause because the thyroid problem can be autoimmune. There's multiple causes that we have to look at, but that's one of those things that I would say it's an easy medication.
The majority comes from where, did you say? You said the majority?
I would say the majority of the thyroid disease is going to need treatment.
Okay. You know, I agree.
I'm sure there have been, you know, outside the thing. But for the most part, if they say you have thyroid disease, you're going to need treatment.
And the treatment for most people is well-tolerated, and it helps. Yeah. It helps. Not all medicine's bad medicine, because some people really have had bad, tainted experiences with the traditional medical system, and I understand that, and I'm sorry if you've had any of those experiences, but some of this stuff really does help a lot, and so it's worth connecting, even when you're waiting an hour and a half in the waiting room sometimes. I'm sorry.
I have a funny videos and stuff of people waiting in doctor's offices, you know, that they, by the time they see the doctor, they've grown a beard, and... And the doctor said, your appointment is 11 o'clock, and he laughs behind his folder like 11:45. Okay, so how does smog affect heart disease and blood pressure? For instance, if you have a depressed immune system, you have heart disease, you have diabetes, should you get a home air purifier system? How bad is the air for you, really? Bad air.
The air quality where we live specifically is terrible. It is so terrible. It is the worst. The first time I realized this was when I was in med school and we were doing our dissecting anatomy, sort of rotation. And most of the cadavers there, they were very healthy, healthy people, you know, healthy weight, healthy lifestyle.
Because it was Loma Linda, right?
Because it was Loma Linda. But their lungs were very black. They had black spots kind of everywhere. I think all of us are in this smog, and when there's fires, there's ash, right? It's a big deal. So if this is something that concerns you, or if you have problems with breathing or respiratory issues, it would not hurt you to have a filter in your home, at least. And there's all kinds of filters. We can talk more about what kind is good for your home. But air purifiers can make a significant difference. And also on days where the air quality is very poor, you should maybe keep your kids inside those days. I know the Loma Linda at the school there, they have flags they put up, whether they let the kids out or not. So it does make a difference over a long period of time. So it may be an investment.
Yeah, yeah. But don't walk in fear now. Just breathe. Yeah.
We're all breathing.
Yes. Okay.
Can I take a moment to just talk prevention 101 for everybody? So one of the things that naturally made me think about is some of the evidence from the longevity literature. There's 5 blue zones in the whole world, right? These blue zones are areas where people live longer than everybody else. I left Massachusetts and came to Loma Linda in part because Loma Linda, California is one of 5 blue zones. San Bernardino is one of the most polluted counties in the country. We have some of the worst health outcomes. I think we are second to only Detroit for the worst health outcomes in the United States of America. And the U.S. is 34th to maybe 49th in conservative estimates for health outcomes around the world. So we're not doing so hot here in San Bernardino. That being said, Loma Linda's nestled right here. So despite that air quality, people are living 10 years longer in our own backyards. Yeah. What is it that they're doing? It's not that they have air filters in their house that's protecting them to get them that extra longevity. Make sense? So what is it? So I'm going to just simplify it, because if you forget everything else, what the groups are, why we need church, why we need connection, why we need community, is to actually just implement simple things. And that's really hard, because Satan is going to try to steal every one of these very simple things from you. So what have they found? They found people that eat 9 to 13 servings of fruits and vegetables per day, they live longer, a lot longer, and they're happier. Right? I think happiness stops at 8 servings off that last study. Yeah. So you get past 8 and you're going to hit your happiness wall. You're pretty happy if you get 8 servings in. But most Americans are eating 1 to 3 servings. I simplify it for most people to a fist. You don't have to measure. Don't bring a cup. This is probably an overestimate, but go with it. If you have a fist and you're going to sit down and eat a fistful of food, it should be a fruit or a vegetable until you've hit 9 to 13 servings. No one's doing it. Especially here. And it's hard to find it. If you do it, you will be blessed by doing it in your body. Your body will heal, and there's a lot of benefits, and I could talk about the science, but I would bore you. That's it. So that's 101 from a nutrition. At least get 5, and then portion up. If you're going to eat other things that are not a fruit or vegetable or potentially a bean, a nut, or a seed, then you should be eating a fruit, a vegetable, a nut, a bean, and a seed, probably in a 3-to-1 or a 4-to-1 ratio. That's nutrition. You should be moving your body. How much? At least 60 minutes per day if you're walking. If you're like running, jogging, and actually you're breathing heavy, it should be a minimum of 30 minutes per day. This is just standard across the board. You may have a slightly different benefit for your body than everybody else. But this should be true north of just a start point. And then can you actually do it? Because what you'll find is, until you actually challenge yourself, you're going to realize how hard this really is, right? I don't know, do you guys do this every day up here? Are you always hitting these simple measures? Do you get an hour every single day of walking?
No?
Right? That's why I didn't raise my own hand. Yeah. Do I always get 9 to 13 servings of fruits and vegetables? No, I don't. And I want to, and I try to, and I know I'm going to be better off when I get there, and I'll feel better. Some of you can reverse the illness that you're dealing with right now if you just ate that many fruits and vegetables. Hmm. And some of you are scared to do it, aren't going to do it, and then will come up with every excuse that makes so much sense. Oh, I don't like it. Oh, it feels like I get gassy. Can I just talk about gas for a quick second with you women? I talk about gas a lot.
I tell the corn story. The corn story goes like this, and I apologize if you guys, this is offensive, but I feel like it should be taught and told. If you've ever eaten corn at a barbecue, look down afterwards in the toilet. I'm a looker. Some of you may not, but I'll let you know what you might have seen there. It's corn. You can see it in its full outside kernel variety. The punchline, the reason why I tell this story is it's true of many resistant starches and fiber. I talk about fiber all the time. It's one of the things that's in these plants. Your bacteria change to digest fiber. If you ate corn every single day for 6 weeks, you'd probably stop seeing corn in the toilet because the bacteria will upregulate enzymes and they'll digest the hull of the corn. The same is true for why you're gassy and bloated when you eat beans and broccoli and onion and garlic. Sometimes you'll eat something for 6 weeks and you're still bloated, gassy, feeling horrible, in which case there may be an allergen, some other perspective. But most of us don't even come close. We're just like, oh, I can't. My stomach, I won't do it. It works for others. It doesn't work for me. Can we, like, I just want to love you all enough to let you know there are some growing pains in this. Part of why you're having that discomfort is because you don't do it. That's why. It's that easy. You don't do it. Part of why you're struggling in parts of your life is because you won't, don't, choose not to do it. Once you start to do it, God blesses you more and more. Then the next thing that happens, and I've had this happen with lots of people in the group, is they try to eat their cheat food again, the one that they always love, the one that they put before God, the one that it's like, oh, this is what I really want. Right? And we all have some of that. That's called gluttony, guys. Can I just be honest? Just like lust. I'm broken. I'm single because I've been someone full of lust for parts of my life. And I've had to get right with God, start over, and now want a godly relationship first. Right? Some of you don't want that relationship with food. It literally is a stronghold in our church. And no one wants to talk about it. I do. I'll be the turd in the punch bowl. I'll be it. I'm going to be it for you guys. That this is where it starts. So 9 to 13 servings is a lot. But what's crazy, and I know there's some people that have actually experienced this firsthand, you try to eat the food that you ate every single day readily. It's the same. The walk just keeps getting tighter. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm going to cheat. It's going to be, oh, I just want ribs. I want ribs. I don't want nothing else. I'm not going to have a vegetable with my ribs. Or maybe it's funnel cake, something that you just really loved before. You try to eat the same thing now, and it makes you feel sick, gassy, bloated, headache, horrible, the same way the healthy food was doing at the beginning. And you just have to be willing. You don't need the willpower God will provide. Just be willing to get back up and keep pushing in this way. So that's 101. I know I'm kind of hyped up about this, but there's like we ask a lot of these questions,
yes,
and we miss 101.
Right. And you know, as you're talking, it's not also what some people can look and say, well, you're so legalistic and you're telling me this. Listen, guys, this is, we love God. We want to please him and honor him. And God made our bodies. He made our bodies to thrive on green stuff.
Dang.
And this is very spiritual. It's not a bunch of rules or regulations or blah, blah, blah. It is this machine that God made, that he made a specific way that we have come so far. He gave us these muscles, ligaments, bones, and everything, make us walk on two legs so that we will be walking. But now we don't walk. And he's made our bodies. So I just want to, that is sometimes what a lot of people feel in our, yeah, well, you just want to put some legalistic stuff on me, and this is a church and God's grace and all that. And we're not mad at anybody, but we're just saying God made your body. And he made it that way.
I see results in 6 weeks. Can I just tell you that? I've seen people reverse diabetes in 6 weeks. They do this and they are blessed. And it's crazy because so often people come back and they say, ah, it was so hard, I didn't do it. But the ones who did it, oh, I see it so fast. I just want you to know that. I see change quickly.
That's awesome. Somebody's asking if obesity is a cause for not getting pregnant. So if you lose weight, can you get pregnant if you've not been able to? If I lose weight, will I get pregnant?
Absolutely.
Faster?
And the reason is your fat cells, if you have too many, all the fat cells in your body are making a hormone called estrogen, right?
So the fat cells make estrogen?
They make estrogen. They make that hormone. And if you have too much of that, it can really hijack your whole menstrual cycle and your ability to become pregnant. So absolutely losing weight will significantly increase your chances of becoming pregnant. There are other issues too. So if you have trouble, we always say you have to have trouble getting pregnant for 1 year while you're having sex, okay? So you also have to do that. Anyway, then you should go see your doctor, okay? So after a year. But yes, losing weight will definitely help.
Okay, does a person who is predisposed to diabetes have to eliminate all sugar forever?
Maybe all of us forever. I'm just kidding. Whether you have diabetes or not, sugar is so bad for you. Can I just say it? Can I just be honest, like totally honest? Fruit is really good for you, but sugar is so bad. If you don't believe me, turn on your Netflix and just look up sugar, and you'll see like 4 documentaries about, you know, all the recent research about how sugar is killing people in this country. And it's not just killing us. What about your kids? What are your kids eating? I challenge myself to go to the grocery store and buy food for my family and not buy anything with added sugar. I could hardly buy anything in a box or a package. And what do you see? Your kids are hungry. Oh, here's some like Cheez-Its or here's some crackers. Crackers are healthy, right? There's no sugar in them. There's so much sugar. Sugar is like the root of all evil if you want to talk about dietary issues. Added sugar. And I'm talking about the sugar that they put in added foods and the high fructose corn syrup. It's everywhere. Sodas, all the stuff that we do to give us energy. Oh, I'm so tired. I need some like soda or I need some sugary whatever. Sugar can be very unhealthy and damaging to the body on sort of a cellular level. But the sugar God put in fruits and vegetables are really good for you. And it's packaged beautifully with fiber. So it, you know, all works together. So there's
Dr. Vanessa, you are way too quiet here. Here's a question for you. What is the side effect? If you have side effects of some medication and the doctor says it is not the medicine, what would you do? So somebody is convinced they are suffering from a side effect of meds and the doctor says, no, it's not the medicine.
I would get a second opinion, another doctor, because you know if that medicine is making you feel bad or not, and it sounds like the doctor just isn't listening to you. And, you know, it's just like, you know, shopping for anything. You know, sometimes personalities clash, and sometimes you mesh with your doctor. You got to be able to trust your doctor. You have to be able to talk to your doctor, and your doctor has to be able to listen to you. You know, so in my own experience, if the doctor's not listening to me, I get another doctor. Right? They have to be able to hear and be concerned. You know, you've had the doctors that just rush in, rush out on a time schedule, not really hearing what you say and just poo-pooing what you say. And if you're seriously having symptoms that are hindering your lifestyle, I say you have to get another doctor that will change your medication. Usually for most medications, there's several different options that they can try. You don't have to be on that high blood pressure medicine. You don't have to be on that kind of diabetes medicine or that kind of high cholesterol medicine. We have other options. So if they're not willing to try another option based on what you say, I'd look for another doctor.
Awesome. Can memory loss be reversed?
Want to take that? Hey, I just, I'll answer this one too, but I've been reading that book Fight Now that was recommended through the pulpit. I know this is for men, so this isn't always for all you guys, but one of the things that I thought was profound in that book was they talked about being spirit-led instead of being emotion-driven. I think that really applies to everybody. And so, you know, as far as the last question, too, I think sometimes we are so emotion-driven. Sometimes we want to trust our emotions. Like, I can trust the way my body feels. Not always. Make sure that you're being spirit-driven. But just to counter my own point, yeah, some doctors aren't great. Sometimes there's not going to be, and the spirit will lead you away from those people that aren't helping you, being supportive in your life. So, but just be spirit-driven, not emotion-led in those decisions. Next is memory. I call dementia, because I got this from the functional medicine experts, type 3 diabetes. It's so prevalent and so
directly attributed to the same metabolic dysfunction that leads to both obesity and leads to diabetes, which eventually leads to heart disease and strokes. It also is what's causing these plaques, tangles, little mini vascular strokes, and all sorts of problems for the brain. And so if you want to reverse, treat, and slow down the progression of damage to your brain, the same message that I've already been preaching is the message to start with. And if you're not there, before you add a nutraceutical substance or something else that the doctor wants to tell you has 3 to 6 months worth of a clinical trial to maybe help, can we make sure we're doing this first? Can we get the low-hanging fruit, no pun intended, before we go for the higher one? There's lots of other elements that can help too. So it's not that simple. There's some research around omega-3 fatty acids and EPA, DHA actually supporting neurons in the brain. There's lots of other things that are useful. But a lot of this stuff comes in those plants, and it's protective. And I want to give one other paradigm around sugar. I'm fed up with the protein, carb, fat myth around food. People come to me all the time and say, "Doc, I eat some eggs and I have a protein for breakfast." And I'm like, "What's a protein?" Because it means so many different things, and we've been brainwashed by an industry to simplify food and call it macronutrients, which are fats, carbohydrates or sugars, and proteins. Those are fuel, guys. So I've been trying to work on this little analogy. And this is a guy analogy, car, right? Let's say you have a car, and all of those things are just fuel. It's fuel. It's like your gas. It's the difference. If you're eating one with more sugar than more protein, it's like having, 93 unleaded versus 87. If you got a good car, should you have 93? That's the more protein, a little bit less carb. It's like the 93. At the end of the day, if you need an oil change, if your engine's breaking down, if you don't have air in your tires, changing your ratio of proteins, carbs, and fats isn't a solution set. And that really is what the evidence has been showing when I've gotten deeper and deeper into it. You can't fix this problem by changing your ratio of proteins, carbs, and fats. You need the fiber, the phytonutrients, a whole bunch of things that God put into some of these plants that we don't even understand why, because we've tried to use Juice Plus. There's Plexus products. There's a whole bunch of these privately labeled things that you can get from your naturopathic doctor that has some of these things, which may help. But every time we've done a clinical trial to compare them to the actual people eating the fruit, it failed. That's why it's not clinical. That's why some of the doctors are just standing at you and you're like, "But doc, what about this product?" And they're like, mm-mm. It doesn't mean that the stuff can't help, but I can tell you that there's not strong evidence that it does. But there is strong evidence for what I've already said over and over again. So start there. It matters a lot.
This is just so good. We have literally minutes left. I have one question that we have to do, and then we're gonna have to end.
I did want to add something to the memory.
Yes, wait, you're gonna get your turn. Okay, we're gonna. You can just when just this one quickly first. Okay, so somebody is saying I drink too many sodas. When I stop and drink water, I get heartburn. And when I mean, this is for real. Somebody is replacing their soda with water, and they think it gives them heartburn. And then another person is saying they get dizzy when they work out. So here are the excuses of I can't work out, I get dizzy, I drink water, I get heartburn. These are real experiences. Does somebody want to answer that? And then we're going to have a final statement from everybody.
Well, it's kind of like Dr. Kono said, when you've been eating a certain thing and your body has to adjust, water is the healthiest thing you could do. And I would, if anything, drink more water. As far as heartburn, I would guess the majority of heartburn is from obesity. I mean, as people, they get reflux, the more they overeat and the poorer they eat. So, again, healthy eating, exercise will stop the heartburn, but water is a definite plus and a must, okay? And as far as exercise making you dizzy, maybe you're doing too much. Maybe you haven't eaten before you work out. Just start with a walk. Walking is very good for you, and just start with a walk. That's what I would suggest.
That's good. Steps. One step at a time. Jamie started with that. Jamie, why don't you start? And we just give each one of you like a minute or so because we've got to go. I just want to let you know we have Patsy and Lori. Outside Patsy is our Health Connect coach that once a month at the church, we offer completely free blood pressure and diabetes screening. And it is available today also. Thank you. Thank you so much, Patsy. Where is she? She's here. She took off work, ladies, to come and be here today to let you know what your blood sugar is, if you want to know, and your blood pressure. So could you just do a final statement?
One thing I just wanted to add about cognitive decline is that they found that the more connected you are in your community and volunteering, actually, are a couple things that are preventative measures for cognitive decline and Alzheimer's and stuff like that. But one thing I guess I want to leave you with is, you know, practical things to get fruits and vegetables, soups, salads, and smoothies. That's one. And the other thing is that I just want you to hear not to be overwhelmed and that you're loved in this process. And we're kind of all surrendering ourselves every day on this health journey. And I know sometimes when you hear, like, some hardcore truths, it's really, it's piercing a little bit. But that's part of why our passion is to build you up, because we believe you're put here for a purpose. And I believe that there's some strongholds the enemy has that we have to push through, but we got to do it together. It's a community, a group effort, and you connect with your friends and say, okay, let's meet for a walk. No more Chili's for lunch, let's go on a walk instead, or whatever. So just a couple things that just, because I think love is what changes us. You know, it's not the information. It's translating that to, I am loved enough to see this in myself, and God has revealed this to me, and now I got to take some steps and be obedient. So
that's beautiful. Dr. Kono, somebody asked your last name, C-O-N-O. Do you have a Facebook?
That's actually my first name.
Badalamenti.
I call myself Dr. Kono because I'm Dr. Badalamenti, and that's just
Badalamenti.
Really long.
That is such a cool last name, isn't it? Badalamenti. I love it. Dr.
But
Kono,
it's
Badalamenti.
C-O-N-O. Yeah, I do have a Facebook. If there's not a lot of Dr. Kono, so if you just type in Dr. Kono,
okay.
I'll probably be the only thing that
thanks. Somebody
shows
wanted
up.
To know. She's probably single.
But I know I've talked a lot, and wait, what was that? Oh, man. So I really do want to just thank you guys for letting me be here and talk so much to you. You women rock. You are the heart, the tender heart of this church. You are the lifeblood. You are what makes this church beat. You are the one that brings the men in. You're the ones that will help us be guided appropriately and not be off level-headed. I'm reading this book. Like, I'm literally reading this book, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't want to be Samson. Like, I don't want to end up just squandering. And it's you guys, the women of God, not the women that are outside of God that are trying to pull us away, that can help just guide this church to where we need to be. And that's why, honestly, the Be Alive group, I mean, we have a couple stragglers. There's a couple men that come and hang out with me. But it's you that needs to spread this message of health and healing to the men, to the families, to our church, to our community. Because this is a sick community, and we can change it. 1 Corinthians 8, I meditated on this, and it's part of why, and it's talking about idols and like food sacrifice. You can eat whatever you want, guys. You're going to be loved regardless. If you're taken tomorrow and you're saved, so what? You don't need 99 years on the earth. Like, who cares, right? But, there's so much work to do while we're here. And if you could be well, if you could truly be whole in your body, imagine that with the potential what we can do. And you are the heart. You're the ones who can bring this to convince your husbands, to convince your children, to be the one to bring that message to each other. And now that you have it, now that you know it, don't sin against your brothers and sisters. Own that. Own that word. It's in there. 1 Corinthians 8.
Amen. Amen. Yes, so good, right? So good. Awesome.
I also want to agree. This can be sort of overwhelming because you've lived a certain way your entire life, you know. But I always think about the Word of God is the bread of life. That is really where we should get our joy, our fulfillment. And for me, when I struggle the most is when I look for my joy and my fulfillment in other things. And I really like to look for it in food. I don't know. And so when I hear I can't eat that stuff that makes me happy, like that all-American chocolate cake from Costco, if I can't eat that, and, you know, if that's bad for me, what is going to really make me happy, you know? And the Bible, the Word of God says that He will satisfy us, right? That God will satisfy us it's just... I highly recommend if you feel down or depressed because you're like, I ate an apple, I ate a banana, and I had a kale smoothie, and still I really want to do something that you know you shouldn't do, just open your Bible and read. That's just, I'm just trying to give you advice from my own life. And God will satisfy you, and you know, then you'll be distracted because people will be calling you into other places, and, you know, life will go on. But little things, just do little things. And if, you know, if you have a slice of that cake, just enjoy it, okay? Don't let it drag you down. Don't do the whole guilt and shame thing that we get into. That is just as crippling as eating the wrong thing and being unhealthy, right? So just lean on God and be part of this community. This Be Alive community is a wonderful thing if you need help with that. And girlfriends or, you know, Women Rock is a wonderful place to be in connecting. Yeah.
So, Dr. V, do you want to just final statement and pray for everybody? Because we all need prayer after this, please, would you?
Okay. I just wanted to say I agree with what everybody said, especially Yolandi, because for me, what helps me is, you know, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And we don't want to make anything, including food, you know, an idol over God or more important to us than God is. And I think that what we tend to do is we tend to focus on food. Where are we going to eat? Where are we going to eat? How much of it are we going to eat? You know, and what has helped me in my weight loss efforts and my trying to eat more healthy is when I want something like that Costco chocolate cake or something like that, I have a bite or two, you know, or I share it with five people, you know, or something like that. When I had those moments of weaknesses. I mean, we're all going to eat, so this was just to put in your mind, think about it before you grab something or before you go somewhere. But when you're going to eat it, I say divvy it up and go at it, you know, just a bite or two to satisfy that. You don't have to eat the whole thing. You don't have to eat the whole bag until you're there. We're not all there. Can I get an amen? You know, we live in, you know, all the commercials, everything you see. So like Yolandi said, don't get into a guilt trip, you know, but don't... change from what you were eating. Change. Make a change today. And I just want to add to, you know, remember I said that the number one killer is heart disease. And with women, the problem is we have so many hats, we don't go in. It's like you think about heart, you know, having a heart attack or something as this severe chest pain. And with us, it could just be you feel nauseated, your jaw aches, or your arm is a little achy, or you just don't feel well. And we poo-poo that because we got to make dinner and do the laundry, and we got kids to do whatever, and so we don't go in. And so I just want to let you know that there are other symptoms that you need to be aware of, and you need to take care of you. So when you feel bad, you need to go in. You know, you may have been living a poor lifestyle, and these things, you know, although you can reverse it, maybe it's not reversed right now, and the enemy's trying to attack you. And rather than let him win, when you have those kind of symptoms, go in immediately. Also, stroke is the number one killer, and, you know, that's weakness on the side of your body or loss of, you know, feeling on the side of your body or that kind of thing. So just know the symptoms so you can go in. Amen?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.